Welcome to Engineering Conversations. My name is David DeMontigny, and I'm an engineering professor at the University of Regina. Today, my guest is Justin Gwilliam, a fourth-year student in industrial systems engineering who will be graduating in just a few short weeks. Justin is a vice president of communications on the Regina Engineering Student Society, and he is currently president of the ASHRAE Regina Student Chapter. Justin, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me. I know we've been planning this for a couple months, so I'm excited to actually sit down and record it with you.
It's finally happening. We certainly have been planning for a long time. So Justin, just to get started, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how it is that when you came from high school, you decided you would take engineering?
So again, my name is Justin. I've lived in Regina, Saskatchewan my whole life. And then in high school, I took all of the sciences, so chemistry, physics, biology, and all of my maths up to calculus. And that's kind of what led me into the direction of engineering, that I had all the prerequisites, and it was one of the programs that required both. As well, in high school, I went to a couple of the engineering faculty outreach events. So there was a What is Engineering Day and a couple other small events that led me towards the direction of engineering. And then I signed up in my grade 12 year.
Okay, so you sort of figured it out on your own, that this was something you were interested in. You'd always been good in science and math, and it wasn't necessarily from a teacher or a guidance counselor. It was your own research and kind of interests that led you.
And it honestly kind of lucked out that I got led in this path on my own, and there was no one in my family was an engineer or anything like that, so I didn't really know what an engineer was necessarily going into it.
Okay, so when you finally got to university, you're in first year. Tell us about that transition from high school.
It was almost like going into high school all over again, that you didn't know necessarily very many people in your program. I had one person from my high school that I knew and a couple other small friends that I barely kind of knew going into it. So you really have to start over and make new kind of friend groups again, which isn't necessarily a bad thing if you don't really like the people that you're with in high school or anything like that.
Right. And a lot of the, I guess the word on the street is that, oh, it's so hard to go into engineering. What was that transition like? Like, did you find it a big change in the workload or the expectations?
I still mainly had classes from kind of the normal high school hours. I didn't have any night classes. I lucked out in my first year. But workload wise, it was just different. A little bit more expectation to do it on your own rather than having your teacher solve the math problem for you day after day, or even just having the class, like the exact same high school class day after day after day, to only have it twice or maybe three times a week was definitely different for sure.
Yeah, that's because there's more free time in university. I put quotations around that because really that's supposed to be your study time.
Right, exactly.
So students can sometimes think that this is great. It's easier than high school because there's all this free time, but that's really supposed to be your study time.
It feels easier until you have the midterm, right?
Yeah, that's right. So first year is general, right? You don't really pick your major until second year. So tell everyone what you've decided upon for your major. I mean, you are about to graduate real soon. You're going to have your capstone project in a few weeks. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. How did you pick your major?
So in first year, a couple of the friends I had made, were leaning towards industrial. At first I was more leaning towards environmental, which is kind of ironic that I didn't actually pick it. But because I had friends going into industrial, it more led me in that direction. And then I just looked a bit more into the courses and saw that a lot of the environmental ones overlapped with industrial. So I figured if my friends were going into it, I know it sounds bad, but, that's kind of what led me in that direction, okay. Without necessarily even knowing a lot more about industrial engineering or what that career would look like. Just, you had to decide on the paper, and I knew you can still switch in second year into a different program. It might set you back one or two courses, but a lot of the courses for environmental and industrial, even in second year, overlapped. So I wasn't too worried. And then I just stuck with it all the way through.
And some of that overlapping is related to the systems engineering program, right?
Right,
exactly. We'll have an episode later on that dives into the what exactly is systems engineering compared to some of the other engineering programs in the country. So that's great. Now, I saw from your bio that you've also participated in the co-op work-study program. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about the co-op program itself, just briefly, but then specifically the work terms that you might have had, and where did you go out into industry and work?
So in your third semester of classes, so the fall of second year, you start applying for co-op jobs. I think now they more want you to take a co-op term in the following summer after your fourth semester. But when I started, you could take it in the third, right after the third semester or starting after the fourth semester. So I was applying for jobs in that fall. And so I didn't really have any luck. It was right in the middle of COVID. And then one day I had a interview of some job I didn't even apply for, and ended up working at the Ministry of Highways for 4 months. So then, you know, time goes on, you take another couple of semesters of classes, you keep applying for jobs. And then I got a work term at the Ministry of Cess Builds and Procurement. And I had a really great time there. I went back for a second co-op term there. And then just my most recent work term was at BASF.
Okay. And tell us about the kinds of things that they get you to do on these jobs, because you're not an engineer yet. You're an engineering student, but I'm assuming you're not just doing, filing or making Excel spreadsheets or something.
For the most part, for industrial, what I worked on was a lot of report writing, kind of presentations. You research into something or you're given some kind of data. I know at Cess Builds, I was writing audits for buildings, energy or waste or water consumption, things like that. But some of my friends have had more design-based work terms. So you're working on programs like Solid Edge or AutoCAD, making components for different machines, or same kind of idea with project management, that you can take lead on a project, make the schedule, get quotations, order parts for things.
Okay.
It's quite a broad range of options.
And the co-op program does add a year in time to the length of your degree. Would you say that it was useful for you and that it helps you build your resume? Or how would you describe that when you look back on the experience that you've had?
When you first mentioned that it would take extra time for your degree, I know it sounds kind of weird, that why would you want to extend your degree to take, you know, weird short 4 month work terms. But honestly, it was the best thing, having a little break in between each semester. So you take one semester of classes, you take a semester of co-op, you take a semester of classes, then you take another semester of co-op. And I did that kind of pattern and rotation for 3 of my 4 work terms. So right now I've taken 2 semesters in a row, but the last time I took 2 semesters in a row was basically 5 semesters ago. So forever.
Yeah. And you're paid on these jobs, right?
Yeah. And it's pretty good pay too, especially for kind of your first real engineering job, but still not as an actual engineer.
Right. Okay. Really good. I'm happy to hear that you had a wonderful co-op experience. So I have mentioned that you are in fourth year. You are due to graduate here in the next few weeks. And people may or may not know that when engineering students get to the end of their program, in their fourth and final year, they do a graduation project, or something that is known as a capstone project. You have a capstone project. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you and your teammates have been working on, and what was the goal of the design? And I don't know if you can share with us the results, or if that's something that can only be revealed at capstone project day, but I'd love to hear a little bit about your project.
For sure. So it's really weird to look back on that. We started it end of last April, so almost a year-long project. But the Kizik Tower dormitories here on campus, we've made a software model of that in an energy modeling program, and with the goal of it being to see how we can reduce the carbon emissions of the building. So the kind of main area we've been focusing on is heat pumps. As heat pumps can remove the natural gas usage from the building, they use electricity to heat the building rather than the typical kind of systems here on campus. So we spent many hours modeling every floor of the building in this software model, and then the original system to kind of get a baseline model. And then once we've done that, now we've implemented putting in this heat pump, various different types of heat pumps. And the result is that it saves quite a bit of carbon because we're removing natural gas, but the costs are pretty high for installing new equipment. So
okay.
It's an interesting conclusion that, you know, you save on one hand with the carbon emissions, but you don't necessarily save on the cost just because of the high upfront cost of putting in such a large piece of equipment.
Right. And just based on my experience, I mean, this is what can happen sometimes out of engineering projects, is you can actually come up with a very good design, but you might find out that that's may not be the best option considering the economics, right?
Yeah, you really have to look into what's the main priority, because if you're only looking at the carbon emission reduction, then it's a solution, right? It's for sure. It's a great solution.
Well, absolutely. I thanks for sharing that. And I'm looking forward to Capstone Project Day, which is just a few weeks away.
So, yeah, almost, I think, two weeks now.
Yeah, this episode, I guess, will air like right around the same time, probably.
I'm just putting the finishing touches on the poster and the presentation.
And after that, you got a few more exams to finish and then look for a job, I suppose.
Yeah, I've been applying since kind of the beginning of this year, any of the small ones that have come. So just keep applying and something will come up.
It'll come and you'll be starting your career. So before we wrap things up today, Justin, Justin, I have to confess, is one of the first people that I went to when I was thinking about doing an engineering podcast. And he thought it was a good idea, and so did his colleagues. And one of the main purposes here is to provide information to students in high schools that don't know what they're going to do with their with their themselves after they graduate, right? So for anybody out there who might be thinking about a career in STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, what advice might you give to that grade 12 student if they are thinking about engineering?
My best piece of advice is to pick something that you're passionate about. So whatever that may be, it makes the workload a lot easier. It makes making friends a lot easier, finding people who have the same kind of interests as you. So if you're able to pick kind of that problem solving, math, science related area that makes you, piques your interest and makes you really want to keep working at it, you'll have a lot more fun in your degree and have a lot better time going through it.
Yeah, and generally, I think sometimes students don't know if they can do it, right?
Right.
And look at you. I mean, just 4 or 5 short years ago, you were starting out and now you're going to graduate. So absolutely, people can do it.
It definitely takes some work, but you can do it for sure.
Worth it in the end?
Oh, yeah. I've had the best time. I know the first couple of years were a little scary, took a bit more to get used to, but now it comes easy.
Right. So maybe I just got to explore that a little bit because you said you had the best time. So it's the best time in the class, in the labs, or some of the other student groups you've been involved with. So you've been involved with the Regina Engineering Student Society. You've been involved with ASHRAE. Where would you say the best times came from for you?
So I would mostly say the classroom and the activities got me in the door, but then what kept me here was the extracurricular activities. Okay. I've been able to travel from coast to coast for conferences in Canada, just mainly for free from the Regina Engineering Student Society, which has been a great opportunity. We got to go to Victoria, we got to go to St. John's, Winnipeg, Toronto. I know lots of people went to Calgary. Just basically every main city in Canada has had some kind of conference over the last 3 years. And especially now that there's no pandemic, you can start from your first year. We've sent all of our first year council to St. John's this past winter, which was a great experience for them. And to be able to bond with this group of students and make merchandise and host events with them has been really the best time.
That's great to hear. Yeah. So in the classroom, you learn some of the theory and stuff, but outside the classroom, you learn the life skills to really help improve your career. Wonderful. Justin, this has been great having you on. I've really been looking forward to doing this first recording and see where this podcast goes. I couldn't have got to this point without you. So thank you for that. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Engineering Conversations. I hope you'll join us next time when my guest is Carlo Palazzo, the Coordinator for Cooperative Education and Internships here at the University of Regina in the Center for Experiential and Service Learning.